I really, really believe that, you know, LinkedIn is a huge positive for people working in any industry who want to grow their networks, but maybe don't have the ability all the time to be able to go out to loads and loads of events. Welcome to the Oh For Food's Sake podcast, where we unwrap the joys and struggles of working in the food industry so you can thrive in what you do best while sustaining a rewarding and fulfilling career or business. We are your hosts, Lucy Wager, food industry consultant,
and Amy Wilkinson, food industry coach. We've worked in the food industry for the last 20 years, and we're here to share with you the benefit of our hindsight. Our podcast is for you to find new ways to cope with the daily struggles, but mostly to inspire you to work on what's not working to ultimately improve your career or business long term. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Oh For Food's Sake. Today we're going to talk about something that we actually mentioned quite a bit because we have really built our networks there. We're going to talk about LinkedIn. And we're going to talk about how you can use LinkedIn better than you are at the minute, because like a really high percentage of people are just lurkers on LinkedIn. It's a bit of a scrolling thing, and just see it as something that you only need to use when you're looking for a job. And the reality is, if you're thinking like that, you're missing out on loads of opportunities to build your career, grow your network, position yourself as an expert, and do things like we've talked about before, haven't we, Lucy? Like career cushioning. So like getting yourself ready for your next career move.
Yeah. It's like that. You don't want to just be using it when you need it. You want to be nurturing it while you don't need it, so that when you do need it, it's really useful.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, Lucy, like obviously we've used it a lot more in the last 5 years, say, because we've had our own businesses. And before that, didn't really use it very much. But I do feel like it gets used a lot more generally now. Like it's another social media platform that people use alongside Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, so I've used it for a lot longer because, I mean, I started using it when I did my little stint in recruitment.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in 2010. So it was the early days. And that was really what got me into LinkedIn. And then obviously when I started Podology, I used it more. So when we started, I mean, my LinkedIn growth, I'd done all my growth really on my LinkedIn. I need to do more. But so
well, this episode's for you too then, Lucy.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, how often do we have conversations about doing more on LinkedIn? Because it is challenging, you know, and I think it can feel a bit overwhelming when you make it like a chore, when you make it something, I've got to do this.
Yeah,
but you're right in the sense that it's definitely more of a social media.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like when you were saying about when you worked in recruitment, that's what it used to feel like. Like a load of recruiters in suits like lurking around, waiting to pounce on you if you said the slightest thing, and then they're going to be phoning you constantly. You know, that's what it used to feel like, but don't think it is anymore.
No.
So I think it's this episode we really need to cover like why it actually matters now and what's different about it, how people optimize what their profile is. Like we're going to talk about actually posting on it. I can't remember. I should have looked up stats. I never look up stats, do I? I'm just so not a numbers person, but it's a tiny, tiny percentage of people that are actually on the platform that actually post.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tiny.
It's funny though, because the thing that I think is really powerful about LinkedIn is that it's such a, for us as people in the food industry, there's such a wealth of experience and information within it. And I had this conversation with one of my clients who I know she'll comment on my posts. And I said to her, you've got to be more visible. You've got to post more stuff. And she's been posting more stuff and she posts really interesting things. And I was like, yes, you started doing it. It's brilliant because she's getting loads of interaction and she's a wealth of knowledge.
Well, and that's the thing you do, because not actually that many people post. Mm-hmm. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there really, Lucy. Like actually the food industry in particular is very relationship driven. So, you know, if you think about it, it's buyers, suppliers, manufacturers. Yeah. You know, like actually how many people have we had on the podcast where they've talked about they've managed to get something in because they met somebody on LinkedIn or, you know, through their network. And that's the thing. It is a platform for networking. And I'm always really surprised as well. I don't know why, but you sort of see people from different retailers interacting with each other because everybody's worked with everybody at some point, So actually, but it is also a place like, and we've talked about personal brand before, and that can sound a bit like over the top, but really effectively, that is, it's what people see you for and who you are, basically.
Yeah.
And people making, you know, people hiring new people making decisions about promotion, stuff like that, they will look at your LinkedIn profile. People do, and they, you know, so it's really important how you present yourself on LinkedIn. But it's also a really good place to get all the information on trends, regulatory updates, you know, like product launches. I usually find out about product launches before I go into store because everybody's talking about LinkedIn. Yeah. So it is really good. So I think it's important to really think about what you can get out of LinkedIn and it not just be a scroll hole, you know, filling your time. Because like you said, Lucy, then it starts to, when you are then wanting to do something, you're sort of feeling like it's a chore. But actually, if you think, what do I want to get out of being on LinkedIn?
Yeah. And I also think if you're going to, you know, scroll on something and post on something, then LinkedIn is the best one to do it on because it's potentially really helpful for you.
Yeah. And it's educational and all of that. And actually, I think I used to like do work stuff on LinkedIn and then I'd go and scroll on Instagram. But now LinkedIn prioritizes video. So you actually have still got that like, you know, dopamine hit. You can scroll through videos, but they tend to be more like work related stuff. But I think actually what you were saying about that client that you're working with, a real starting point is just starting to comment on people's posts, because I think there can be a real fear of writing your own posts. And I'm just thinking of like some of my clients and mentees and stuff like that, where it's just like, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember the first post I put out when I went self-employed, like it felt so major. We think everybody's looking at us and it turns out that nobody really cares. But if you just want to start making yourself visible and start to build relationships, just starting to comment on people's posts. So don't just scroll by, don't just like it, actually just write a couple of lines. And because what happens is the algorithm starts to pick up that content is stuff that you're interested in. So it will put more of that stuff in your feed, but it will also pop up on other people's and they'll have a look on your profile. And, you know, so you're starting to build that yourself.
Yeah. And I think don't underestimate the impact of commenting on somebody else's post. So we know, don't we, that when somebody comments on our posts, if it's someone that we don't know, it's like, oh, this is interesting. That's caught their attention. Let's have a look at them. And so you suddenly become interesting to someone that you might not know.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that to people who you admire in the industry, it's a really good way of broadening your network.
Yeah. So definitely start commenting on people's things. But then I think let's talk about that fear of posting. So I think a lot of people have this kind of fear of, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I put a post out there and nobody likes it? You know, it's almost like a popularity contest thing. It feels a bit exposing, doesn't it? A lot of people worry about that they're not qualified enough or they're going to sound silly, all of those things. And actually, the reality is nobody is really thinking out like that. Yes, there's people out there that are not very nice people, but you're not worried about those people anyway. Generally, people are lovely and supportive and nice. And if you've not posted forever and then you post, people are going to like your post because they'll be like, oh, look, so-and-so's popped up. Like, that's exciting. And I think there's something about reframing in your mind. And this was a massive thing for me. Not everything has to be a formed, like a massive presentation or like has to be worded absolutely correctly. Just be your blooming self and just say something.
Yeah.
And I think we often think that we don't have anything valuable to share. I do this all the time where I'm like, I'm no expert in this. And then when I'm talking to my friends that don't work in the food industry, I'm like, oh no, I am an expert versus like people that don't understand what they're talking about.
Yeah. And you don't need to be an expert either. Like you don't. No. It's not about that, is it? It can just be about you sharing something that you find interesting or.
And I think one of my big fears was always, you know, that you see people commenting generally, well, I won't go there, that say things like, this isn't Facebook. Like, don't post that. And this isn't Facebook. God. I'm like, yeah, but it's also not 2007 anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like this, we live in this multimedia social media world. Yeah. So actually, if you want to put something that's personal or something that's a story.
Yeah, I love seeing things that, you know, obviously it's not like every day should be like a personal post, but some people like post something like when their son graduates or gets a first job or something. I love reading those posts because it shows a different side to a person that you may only know in a very work-related sense.
Yeah, well, and we're humans and
we're
people
all
do
one
business.
Person.
Yeah. People do business with humans, right? And build relationships with humans. So I think sod the it's not Facebook crew. Like, fine, whatever. The algorithm can go and take them someone else.
Let them have their opinion.
Well, exactly.
And let me. You need to listen to our Let Them episode.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also, like, sometimes it can just be tricky to think, like, what am I going to post about? So actually, so when you're out and about, often you get ideas, don't you, or thoughts or whatever. Actually, use your notes on you. I've done this for years now. The notes app on my phone is just full of stuff, but like, just note down some ideas as they come to you, and then when you open up LinkedIn, you're like, I've actually got something to share. So thinking about that. And when it comes to posting or commenting on other people's posts, if you think at it from the perspective of the other person reading it, if it's going to be supportive and helpful, then why are you holding it back to yourself? Like, I think that's really helped me be able to share more, is actually, who am I to hold that in and not share that with the world? Yeah. If I can help other people and support other people, then I will. And everybody's motivations might be different, but that's what works for me. The other thing I wanted to talk about is what your profile looks like, right? So this is like, when people click on your profile, this is like the shop window of who you are as a person. So first things first, get your picture right. Get a good picture where you're smiling, you're looking at the camera, you're not like, I've got half another person cut out, or you're on the booze or whatever. In that instance, this is not Facebook. It is a professional platform, and you want to look professional if people are looking you up. But actually, you know, the sort of headline bit, the bit that goes underneath where sometimes people just put their job title, actually do something to make yourself stand out in that bit. So, yeah, you might say something like MPD manager, but then write something like creating award-winning supermarket products, or, you know, like something that just isn't like, I am this, you know, I am one of many people that have exactly the same profile, or people that are self-employed and people like me, you can often see they put things like helping people do X to do Y, you know, but actually helping yourself stand out a little bit more. Your LinkedIn banner, just get rid of that grey, dull, boring banner and put something up there that like reflects your personality or the business you work with. Like, you just want to make it look nicer, really, but making sure that it's really clear, really relevant. You can use things like Canva now, you know, there's templates in there for free and you can just make it, you know, whatever.
And your business might have one that you could use.
And then you also have like an about section, and a lot of people just like basically put their CV in there. Don't do that. Just have it about who you are, what you do, why does it matter to other people? So, you know, even in an employed role, saying the things that you are passionate about. So say if you are passionate about nutrition or something like that, or, you know, weave in there the things that excite you, that make you different, and don't do it in like, you know, in corporate speak, just do it in real life language.
And I think it's really useful to look at other people's profiles and see, you know, find people that do it really, really well.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick breather here to hear from our fantastic sponsors. They help keep the podcast going, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ensuring food safety and quality is crucial. That's why businesses trust Microsearch Laboratories, part of the IFP Labs Group, UKAS accredited MicroSearch offers microbiological, nutritional and allergen testing for food, drink and water, delivering fast results and expert support. With over 30 years of experience trusted by leading manufacturers and retailers and a commitment to sustainability, MicroSearch is your partner in product safety. Visit micro-search.co.uk to learn more.
As we all know, the food industry never stands still, and it's not getting any easier. More pressure, tighter deadlines, and endless spreadsheets. Sound familiar? Point 74 is the perfect solution for cutting through today's product development challenges, enabling teams to create, cost, comply, and collaborate with ease. Used by 1 in 5 of the UK's top food manufacturers and 2 of the top 5 retailers, it's the software behind the label of your favourite food products, delivering improved quality, margins and processes, all in one seamless system. And we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. Let's dive right back in. And you can use AI as well to help you write.
Yeah, so, with the writing of it, yeah.
Yeah, to write it and then reword it into your... you would write.
To make sure you're not using someone else's.
Yeah. but also just to make it sound like your tone of voice as well. But I think a great tip for this one is actually get somebody else to go and look at your LinkedIn profile, like a friend or a colleague or something, and say, what do they think is stands out on that profile and what do they think is missing? Because I think it's really important that it sort of reflects who you are as a person. Like I've done now in my featured section, I've done some like bold, colourful posts that are like in my branding that I've just got things like booking a call in with me and stuff like that. But when you go on my page now, and I'm always like updating it and changing it because it's a big part of what I do. But, you know, there's a real like, you know, that's my page because all of the colours are my branding colours and all of that. And you may be listening thinking, well, I don't have brand colours and stuff like that. But the point I'm making is to make it stand out and just be different to the norm of everybody else's. But once you've done all of that, because if you are going to start posting on LinkedIn, and hopefully you're thinking, oh, maybe I could share a little bit, because actually what you're going to get from it is you're going to get more opportunities, you're going to meet new people, you're going to, you know, you're going to have interesting conversations. You need to have your profile optimized because people are going to start looking on it, but then you can start posting. So what do you post? This is the thing, isn't it? So I thought it's useful to break it down into some of the stuff that might be really useful to think about. So behind the scenes stuff, so a day in the life stuff can be quite good. Or, you know, like sometimes, Lucy, you post pictures, don't you, of you like in your kitchen developing a product, or, you know, in a hairnet in the factory or outside a retailer, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Like it's relatable to other people and it reminds people what you do on a day-to-day basis.
And I think they're the things that you think, well, nobody's going to be interested in this.
But they're the things that like a selfie in a hairnet, really you get like a lot interaction.
I think one of my most interacted posts is about when I posted a picture of my Thermomix and talked about my Thermomix. People in PD love talking about, you know, what we do. So they're great posts.
Yeah. And then I think stuff about industry trends, even if you're like sharing an article you've read somewhere or something, but like talking about the hot issues that are going on. So things like EPF or inflation, or whatever is affecting you in your day to day. But then that, you know, that gives you a level of credibility that you're staying up to date with what the industry insights and trends are. People love a lessons learned post and people like honesty. Like we don't all want to be this polished, everything's perfect all the time. And I'm delighted to say that, and I'm excited to actually sometimes real life happens. So, you know, you might not want to share that you've had a product disaster yesterday, but you might share that there was a product launch disaster 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you know, and what were the lessons that you learned from it? I always think about, I sometimes share about when the watermelon pieces wouldn't fit in the pack.
Yeah.
And I ended up crying in the factory. You know, it's stuff like that, because actually that helps people see that you're human, but actually provide some helpful learnings for people as well. Mm. And makes other people not feel so alone as well.
Yeah. Well, because I think one of the things that I know, one of the things that puts me off when I go into like a dark when I avoid LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's because sometimes I find it really difficult reading all of the, I've been done this and this mm-hmm. is amazing and isn't this a success? And I just find it really, that positive, what's it called? Positive.
Toxic positivity.
Toxic positivity, I think is a problem on social media in general.
Yeah.
And I think seeing those kind of more honest posts is really nice for everyone because I have an issue with toxic positivity. I can't even say it. Is a real issue.
Yeah.
And it can be really difficult.
Yeah. And actually one of your biggest, and you say about the pivotal moments for you when you closed Podology is when you vulnerable, and it was a video, wasn't it? It was a vulnerable video saying, I've had to close the business, and you got so much engagement and you got work from it. Your consultancy started from that.
Yeah.
So actually don't be afraid to be a little bit vulnerable. Now I would say that with a caveat that it is easier for us as self-employed people because our views are all our own. But I think there's something about that when you're in an employed role, actually making sure that, if you are worried about what you're posting, having a look and understand what the social media
policy
is at work. And you may want to put caveats at the bottom of posts saying these views are my own. I mean, it really annoys me. Like, clearly they're going to be your own. And I think your LinkedIn should be your place. But the reality is your name is attached to a particular business. So sometimes you do have to be more difficult. But really simple kind of, if you just think about like something that's behind the scenes, industry trends, what the lessons are, maybe have a post that you ask a question so you get some engagement from people. Like actually those sorts of posts, you only have to do one a week or, whatever you feel comfortable with, but just starting to get your face out there because ultimately what you're trying to do is build a strong network around you. And it's not about like adding random people that have nothing to do with you. If you're using LinkedIn for your career tool, a career or business tool, you need to be thinking about engaging with the right people. So I think sometimes people can be really scared about sending connection requests and stuff like that. Well, I mean, obviously I don't, I just go for it these days. Yeah. Because I remember way back when like saying to you, oh God, so shall I send a connection request to like that senior person, like being scared of doing it. I mean, I just connect to anybody, not anybody, but anybody that feels relevant now. But actually, if you go and engage on that person's post or something before you send a connection request, it just makes it a little bit more meaningful. And they're not going, who's this random person that's engaging with me? And the other thing that I quite like to do is every so often, if somebody has taken the time, say, to inbox me because they've heard something on the podcast or something like that, I try to, when I've got time, which is not that often, but I try to like every 6 months or so, maybe just drop them a message and see how they're doing. If they've bothered to engage with me, like just to engage back, because that's just about nurturing relationships and not always seeing everything as what can I get out of that person right now? Are they useful to me now? But actually nurturing and knowing that if somebody, you get on well with somebody, there's nothing in it for you right now, but it doesn't mean that they're not going to advocate for you in the future, because that's what building a network is about. It's not just about the here and now. It's the when I hit a time of trouble or I need some help, who are the people I can call on?
And that is why using LinkedIn in that way when you don't necessarily need anything is so important, I think.
Yeah. So my challenge to listeners is if you feel brave enough, send three connection requests to somebody that you would like to be connected with in the industry. Just, you can put a short friendly message on it. I don't even necessarily put messages on, I just send the request. But actually just start to try and expand your network. And I know so many people think, I can't do this. Why would I do this? It's all right for her. Like I started from a base of virtually nothing 5 years ago on LinkedIn. I had 500 connections. I'm nearly at 14,000 connections now. And they're relevant people. They're not just random people. They are food industry people. And it's opened masses of doors for me. It's opened conversations. It's led to friendships. So much has come from it. So I'm hoping if you're listening to this, you can see that it's not just about the place to go when you're just looking for a job. It's a place to build your reputation. It's a place to stay ahead and to well, just make friends. Like,
and we're so lucky now.
Yeah.
To be able to, I was just thinking, and you can do all of that from the comfort of your own home.
Do you know what? That's the bin. That is so true, Lucy. Actually, that's the big crux of it for me. It's networking without having to go to a flipping networking event.
Yeah, it's so, so useful. Like, we are so lucky to be living. You know, there's lots of negatives about social media, but I really believe that, you know, LinkedIn is a huge positive for people working in any industry who want to grow their networks, but maybe don't have the ability all the time to be able to go out to loads and loads of events, because I would like to go to more events and I just haven't been able to.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I can, that's great. And going to events and stuff is brilliant content because not everybody can go. So I love it.
Yeah,
when
so you can share
that.
Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. And that's a really good point, actually. That's a good post thing.
But yeah, it's such a good way. And, you know, if people don't want to connect with you, then they shouldn't really be on LinkedIn, is my view. I don't have that fear of connect. I don't think I've ever had that fear. I don't remember having that fear of connecting with people, because I'm just like, well, if they don't want to connect with me, they don't have to accept it and let's all move on.
Yeah. But we can make it personal, can't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, actually, it's not personal. Yeah. It's totally their thing. So I know there's people out there that say that they will not connect with somebody on LinkedIn unless they know them personally. That's their, I don't get it.
They're not using LinkedIn in the way that we're talking about using it.
Yeah, and that's fine. So, like, everybody can use it differently. But what we have found is it's really, really helpful if you're just a bit brave and you put yourself out there a bit. So in summary, the tips that we shared today were actually start engaging in conversations. So don't just like posts, actually comment on them. So your challenge is to comment on at least one thing today or this week. Ask somebody to have a look at your profile and give you feedback on it, and think about optimizing your profile to make it a little bit more interesting. And think about what, if you were to start posting, what are the things that are interesting in your day-to-day work, and start using your phone notes to jot some of those down so that you're ready when you're ready to post on LinkedIn, and start sending some connection requests, start building your network on LinkedIn.
I think I was distracting Amy then, because I was just typing. But I was trying to find the Gary, I can never say his name, Gary V. It's the $1.80 strategy for LinkedIn,
which
I think we've shared before. But it's a really, really good technique, and kind of takes what you were just saying to like the next level.
Yeah, go on,
and
share.
And I just want to find it. So the $1.80 strategy is a concept that he came up with when people are asking about building an audience on Instagram, but it's relevant for LinkedIn. So you find the top posts in your area of interest and you add your 2 cents into the comments.
Okay.
So it's not fluff comments that like bots leave, but it's something meaningful that shows that you actually understood the content.
Yeah.
And it shows that you're interested in what they're, and it goes back to what I was saying before about people will be pleased that you've commented.
Yeah. Don't just say great post, or, you know, like, I hate it when you can see that you've, somebody's AI has left a comment, but like a meaningful comment. Yeah.
And his strategy is it's $1.80, because you leave 2 cents on and you do it 90 times.
Okay.
So that adds up to $1.80.
Okay. So 90 times per visit?
So, well, yeah. I mean, this is like if you want to like massively build, but it's having the concept. I think the concept is that you find 10 articles that are of interest and you put your two cents worth in.
Yeah, I love that.
And it doesn't actually take very long. And I think I like it because LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And it gets you into looking for articles that interest you, or posts that interest you. And then it just gets you into going, oh, well, this is what I think about this. And it's quite addictive, and it really helps.
Yeah. And actually, I like that kind of setting yourself that challenge thing. There was the 5-4-3-2-1-1 that we've talked about, and I can't remember what all five of them are. But I think if you were to say not every time I go on LinkedIn, like I go on it way too much, but say each day, I'm going to comment on 3 posts.
Yes.
I'm
going to
send two connection requests. And for me, it's 1 post a day, but I accept that that's a lot for a lot of people. But, you know, work out what your 3-2-1 is that you're willing to do, but just start using it more than you're using it now, because it has been an absolute game changer for me and Lucy.
Yeah.
So if you are not already connected with us, clearly come and connect with us on LinkedIn.
Come and connect. We'll definitely accept you. Yeah. I never come
and,
not accept.
And also follow the O for Food's Sake page on LinkedIn as well. That's growing nicely at the moment. And go and see who else is following it and, you know, connect with some of those people. It's quite a good way of finding other people is going and looking at who people like me and Lucy, who are we connected to, go through our list of connections or followers and start to build your network from there.
Great.
So I hope you found that useful and we'll see you on LinkedIn.
See you next time.
And see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it, rate and review us. It really helps us reach more food industry pros like you.
For more resources, head over to our website, oforfoodsake.co.uk, and join our mailing list to stay in touch.
And if you'd like to connect with us, come say hello on LinkedIn. We're both there, Lucy Wager and Amy Wilkinson.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.